the book of Galatians. We're in chapter number 2 this morning, and we'll pick up here in our lesson this morning in chapter number 2 and see another issue, I guess you could say, in the churches that Paul is going to address here, a problem that he will address here head on. And I think we got down through almost to verse number 10 last week. I tried to kind of double up a little bit last week to get us back on track. But we're going to be in Galatians chapter number 2. And in just a moment, we're going to begin reading in verse number 11 and read down through the end of the chapter and try to finish out this chapter this morning. But hope and trust you've had a good day or a good week this past week, and look forward to the new week that God has for us, Lord willing, unless the Lord decides to return before the end of the week. But a beautiful day outside, and look forward to this new week. But let's do pray, and we'll get into our lesson this morning. Let's ask for the Lord's blessings upon our time. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you, thank you, praise you once again for this special time that we have, Lord, that we can come together and to be able to come here freely and unite together freely. We just thank you, Lord, for the freedom that we have here in our country, and we praise you for that. We thank you, Lord, for our church that we have. We ask for your blessings upon the entire church and all the needs that our church may have this morning. We pray that you would help in supplying those needs. We pray for Brother Richardson again today, that your blessings and your hand would be upon him today as he preaches. We pray for your blessing. We pray for your power. We pray for your speaking to us. And we pray that we would be good listeners this morning. Help us to open up our minds and also our hearts to what you have for us. May we open up our hearts and our minds to the Word of God, to the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, for direction. We pray for help this morning. We pray, Lord, for many in our church who have prayer requests. We always want to make mention of those. We pray for your will to be done in those requests and those needs that are present here this morning. We pray that you would help in supplying those needs. And Lord, we just pray for your will to be done in all those needs that people have this morning. Lord, we do want to pray for many in our church who have lost loved ones. We pray for them and the burden that many in our church have for lost loved ones, or maybe a neighbor, maybe a friend. We just pray for the lost that you would, Lord, convict in their heart, help them to see their need of salvation. And then, Lord, help us to be a good witness. And Lord, help us to, Lord, be a good testimony for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, our lesson is centered around that this morning. And I pray that you would help us to see the importance of our life from day to day and how it portrays Christ. And Lord, ultimately, how it portrays the gospel of Jesus Christ. We, Lord, also want to mention our missionaries today, very special people. We pray for them that you would bless them, their families, their children, their needs that they may have. We pray that you would help supply that. We pray that you would anoint them. We pray that you would give them fruit for their labors. We pray now that you bless. I pray that you, Lord, help us in our Sunday school hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're in Galatians chapter number 2 this morning. It's going to be an interesting passage of Scripture that we're going to find here this morning. You're going to find here that Paul is still addressing problems that has arisen in the churches. If you remember, just real quickly, we'll highlight just a couple of things. There have been men crept in unawares into the churches. We find that men have come in and have started preaching a different gospel. They were preaching a works salvation. They were preaching that you actually, technically, had to become a Jew in order to go into heaven. And it had confused a lot of these new believers, these new churches that had started. There was confusion now in those churches. There were some, no doubt, that did not believe that doctrine. There were others that probably even questioned maybe if they were saved based on them being saved by faith in Christ only. And so there was a lot of problems in the church. And Paul is working to instruct the churches here to correct them and to set straight the teaching and the doctrines of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, this morning, we're going to find here a segment here in the life of Paul as he's going to address a problem here. And remember, as we get into our lesson this morning, it's all centered around portraying the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, all of us this morning are called to be a testimony for Jesus Christ as a believer. Some people may say, well, that's the preacher's job to be the witness. No, it's your job as a believer to be a witness for Jesus Christ. It is for every believer who has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Now, often we'll say, well, that's the church's job. Well, we are the church this morning. Well, that's the pastor, that's the missionary. That's why we give the mission, so we can go out and support them and they go tell everybody in the world how to be saved. No, that's a part of the spreading of the gospel around the world, but it's our job as well. It's our job to be a good testimony, a good witness for Jesus Christ unto a lost and dying world. So as we get into our lesson, even though this happened long, long time ago, it still very much applies to our day here as well. God wants each and every one of us to be a witness for Christ. And we ought to be a good witness. So with all that being said, we'll get into our lesson here. We find in verse number 11, Paul writing here says, "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed." So we find here that Paul is going to confront Peter here about a problem in the life of Peter. Now, in verse number 11, where it talks and it mentions here that he withstood him face to his face, basically means that it was a battle. It was probably a little heated. Peter was confronted here face to face. So we find here Paul wasn't going to go behind his back and talk about him. He went directly to the source of the problem and met him, and they had probably a little bit of a knockdown drag out face to face. So we're going to find here that there was a problem that was serious enough that Paul felt like that he needed to confront here Peter, and he needed to do that face to face because he was to be blamed. All right, so there was a misstep in the life of Peter. There was a wrong, if you would, in the life of Peter. And Paul was now trying to correct that, if you would. He's going to use it as an example as well about the gospel of Jesus Christ referring to this. Right? Verse number 12. But here's the problem that we find here that was in the life of Peter that Paul is confronting. Verse number 12. "But for before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles," talking about Peter, right? So Peter would go and fellowship with the Gentiles, and he would eat with them. He would fellowship with them. He would enjoy time with them, if you would, and that was the right thing, all right? Now, let's remember that Gentiles can get saved just like Jews can get saved, all right? But back at that time, as I highlighted last week, there were still many Jews that did not like the Gentiles. They were the scum of the earth. They were looked down upon. Jewish people, not all of them, but many of them would believe that they were better than the Gentiles. Many of them also believed that Gentiles could not be saved as a Gentile. That's why now they're teaching in the church that you got to become a Jew, be a Jew, be like a Jew, in order for you to have a possibility of going to heaven. All right? So you got to realize that was still a raging battle that was taking place among the Gentiles and the Jews, more so with the Jewish people than the Gentile people. But we find here that here's Peter. Here's his blame. Here's going to be his misspelled. Here's going to be his fault. He was fellowshipping with the Gentiles. He was eating with them. He was having a good time with them. He was fellowshipping with them. He was witnessing to them. He was enjoying time with them, if you would. Nothing wrong with that. That was the right thing to do, right? So we find in verse number 12, "For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come," talking about the Jewish leaders, "he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision." So here's the problem. He was real friendly with the Gentiles. He fellowshiped with them. He ate with them. But if a Jewish leader came around, he would depart from the Gentile and go with the Jew and act like a Jew, or act like he believed like they did and actually would fellowship with them. He didn't feel like he could do both.
But when the Jewish leader wasn't around, then he was real nice with the Gentiles. But when the Jewish leader came around, he would turn his back on the Gentiles and favor the Jewish leaders in what they believed. Right? So he was, for instance, sometimes in life people call someone two-faced. Right? That's what Peter was. He was two-faced. He was one that acted like a Gentile when he was around the Gentiles, but when he was around the Jews, he would act like them, try to blend in with them. When he was with the Gentiles, he would try to blend in with them. He tried to have it both ways, and you can't have it both ways. So we find here that Paul is going to confront him, or he did. He confronted him face to face. They had a very strong disagreement. It was a public disagreement, too, by the way. And maybe Paul felt like since Peter's sin, if you would, was public, then he felt like he maybe ought to confront it publicly. And he's going to confront Peter here publicly. He addresses the problem. He points out his fault here, that when you're with the Gentiles, you were just as friendly as you could be with them. You fellowship with them. You ate with them. You went into their homes. You associated with them. But boy, if a Jewish leader came around, you acted like you didn't know the Gentiles. You acted like they were the scum of the earth and they were looked down upon. And so Peter here is, he's trying to have it both ways. He's trying to straddle the fence, if you would. He wants to blend in with both. With Gentiles, he acted like Gentiles, but when the Jews came around, he acted like them, if you would. Now, may I say this morning that I think maybe one of the biggest problems in Christianity is this very same problem. We have a lot of people that go to church on Sunday, but boy, when Monday rolls around, they're a totally different person. And I think that we do much harm to the gospel of Christ when believers, and I'll use that word loosely this morning, when believers claim to be of Christ, but yet during the week or throughout their life in the week, they also try to live just like the world lives. Can't do that. It's always perverted the gospel when believers claim to be of Christ but live like the devil himself. I remember, and I've used this, I think I may have used this illustration maybe once here before. Years ago, and a long time ago, I was working at Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company in a factory and worked with a lot of different people. It was a large plant. I think it employed over 3,000 people. But I worked in one department, and in my department, there were several of us men that worked in a department. One of the other men that worked in our department was a man that I was friends with that knew well. He was actually a deacon in a large Baptist church in town there. He tried to have it both ways at work. For instance, I can remember a particular day when there were a bunch of guys. We were over in this one department that we all kind of work in, and when he would come around me, he would always ask, how was church yesterday? What was the message about? And he would tell me a little bit about what his preacher preached on that Sunday, and if anything big or good happened, he would talk about that, and we would fellowship a little bit around that. We had that in common. And he would do that with me sitting right here. And then he would turn around and sit right here and cuss with the best of them. Now, here was something very, very interesting. There was a black man that worked in our department. He attended church. I don't know if he was a saved or a lost man. His testimony didn't seem to be that of a saved person. But this individual came to me one day and he said, I'm going to tell you why I don't like so-and-so, and he pointed out this particular guy. He said, I really have a hard time for somebody claiming to be so religious with you, but then he walk over here with us and try to live like us. He said, something's bad wrong there. And by the way, something is bad wrong when we act that way. You know, when lost people or worldly people don't even like believers when they claim to be of Christ and try to be holy on Sunday, but act like the devil himself all throughout the week, even the lost world doesn't like somebody like that. And I don't know that we quite fully grasp here the magnitude of something that is very, very wrong when we claim to be of Christ with a certain group, and boy, when, you know, we have got to learn that we as a child of God must live for Christ even when we are out in the world and we become the minority, or when you become the only one, it's still right to live for Christ even when you're the only one. It's easy to shout glory to God on Sunday and live for God on Sunday, but the question is really important: how are we going to act on Monday? How are we going to act when we go back to work, or when we go back into the routine of the week, or go back to our families and friends and our associations that we may have throughout the week? How are we going to live then? Because that's what's important. Because when we live contrary to the Word of God, and when we live where our life contradicts the cause of Christ, we harm the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know of anything in this world that's more damaging than harming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, I think sometimes we tend to forget of how important it is. You know, it is important in how you live your life. Now, we live in a day, in an age, in a generation now where even TV evangelists basically say it really doesn't matter how you live. It's just only, you know, the only thing that matters is what's in your heart. Now, let me say real quickly, I can't see your heart, but I can see your lifestyle. I can see how you live. I can see how you act. I can hear how you talk and what you say and so forth. And you know, the only one in this world that can see your heart is God Almighty. Now, I understand this morning that's when it really comes down to it, that's the only thing that matters is what God sees. I mean, God does see the heart. But listen, it's far more than just that. We need to realize how we live our life on a daily basis is very important, because that's the only thing the world can see is your outer. How you talk, how you act. And it goes a long, 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 long ways into being a good testimony for Christ. For instance, a person goes to work on Monday, shows up late, gripes all day, gives the boss a hard time, lazy, doesn't do his job. May I ask, why would a lost person want to hear what you've got to say about Christ in the first place? When that person is having to pull your weight, do your job, shows up on time, gets everything going so you can walk in late, complain all day, create problems, make life miserable for the boss. I mean, why would anybody want to hear our testimony? We can go to any extreme this morning in life. Every aspect of life in the Christian life is important because we represent Jesus Christ. I can remember back a little bit this past basketball season. I did coach the junior varsity team, and I before a game, I would always try to make sure that every one of those young boys realized you represent two things today. Number one and foremost, you represent Jesus Christ. And how you act on that floor ought to dictate Christ living in you. Number two, you have a jersey on, and it says Grace Baptist on the front. You represent Grace Baptist Schools, which is a ministry of Grace Baptist Church. And when we go out on the floor and we play this game, you need to realize you represent both of those. But boy, we ought to tell ourselves that every single morning before we ever walk out of the house on a Monday morning, that I'm going out into the world and I represent Jesus Christ. And how I live my life today is very, very important, because if I live contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ, I could actually do damage to the cause of Christ. How I act. How I talk. The places I go, the places I don't go. The things I say or the things that I don't say. How I work. How I treat other people throughout the day. We could go on and on. How I pay my bills. And we can't talk about that much in a Baptist church anymore. I think we ought to be on time on our bills. I think we ought to pay our bills. We ought to pay our debts, and we ought to pay our debts on time. But Peter
He wanted it both ways. He wanted to be with the Gentiles and make them happy and be accepted with them, but he also wanted to walk over with these Jewish leaders, and he wanted to blend in with them, and he wanted them to be happy with him, and he wanted to blend in with anybody he was with. And my soul, do we see a lot of that today? So many of quote God's people want to blend in with God's people on Sunday, but they want to also blend in with the world on Monday. And that's a problem. It was serious enough, Paul confronted him face to face, in public, in front of other people. Called him out in front of other people because he was trying to have it both ways. We can't have it both ways. You see, this morning, we try to have it, you know, the Word of God talks so much about this and how that, sometimes we try to live our life lukewarm. We're not either hot and we're not cold. We try to be lukewarm. That way we can blend in with the cold and we can blend in with the hot. You can't live life like that. And the Christian life is very, very defined according to the Word of God. The Word of God tells us everything about our life, how we are to act, how we are to talk, how we're to work, how we're to treat others, how we're to treat our family members, the role of leadership when it comes to the husband, the wife, the children, the boss, the employee, you go on and on and on and on and on, and the Word of God breaks it down and is very, very precise of how we are to live our life. And we are required by God to follow His Word. Well, I just don't agree with, you know, such and such and such. It doesn't matter whether you agree or not. We are to live according to the Word of God. So they've got a problem here. Peter wants it both ways. He wants to be happy over here with the Jews, and he wants to be happy over here with the Gentiles, and he's being called out about this. And the reason that he is confronted about this is because, excuse me, it hurts the gospel. It confuses the gospel. It makes people wonder. I mean, when we try to live for God on, and I just use this as an example, we live for God on Sunday, but we live like the devil himself on Mondays. I mean, the lost world looks at that and they're totally confused on who we are. They're totally confused on, you know, what kind of testimony are we giving here? I mean, what's the right and what's the wrong? I mean, the lost world doesn't know what's right and what's wrong. You know, often you've probably heard this statement that in some cases you may be the only Bible that some people ever read. And how true that is. Do you think that all those lost people at work go home and read their Bibles every night? They don't read their Bibles every night. They don't read their Bible at all. And it's a lot of truth to that statement that you are the closest thing that that lost person may have. That's the closest thing to the Word of God. And the question that we must ask ourselves this morning is, how are we portraying the Word of God? When we are lazy, it does not portray the Word of God. When we show up late constantly, does not portray the Word of God. When we don't carry our weight, does not portray the Word of God. I mean, there are so many segments of the Christian life that we could break down this morning, and we could go into every aspect of life. And it is important in how we live our life. Once we walk out of the church house this morning, boy, you know, we often, you know, hear the statement is, you know, we live in a missions field. We are missionaries for Christ. We are called of Christ as a believer. We are called to be a witness and a testimony for Jesus Christ. And we can do nothing in life that would damage or hamper the Word of God when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We find that it goes on. I read verse 11 and 12. Verse number 13. The other Jews dissembled likewise with him.
insomuch that Barnabas was also was carried away with their dissimulation. Got that word out there. That word there means to be an actor. You're just acting. There are a lot of Christians this morning, and I use the word Christian a little loosely this morning, that are just acting. They go to church on Sunday morning. We got up. We put on our what we call maybe Sunday best. We put on clothes that we probably don't wear about anywhere else. We go off to church. We portray this believer attitude. And I'm going to church. I go to Sunday school. And I'm afraid many times all we're doing is just acting. Now, as I mentioned a few moments ago, we can only see the outer appearance of you. And a lot of people can put on a good act and fool a whole lot of people. But I do go back to the other statement that other people use sometimes, but God sees the heart and God does see inside. And Peter was an actor. He acted a certain way with one group, acted a different way with another group. Tried to make sure everybody was happy, tried to blend in with everybody, tried to be just as like them as he possibly could. When he was with a certain group, he would try to blend in and act like them. And he was an actor. He was just going through some motions and acting. And the problem with that is it wasn't real. It wasn't true. And, you know, what this world needs more than anything is just for believers to be real. You've been around people that try to act a certain way. You don't like people like that. But boy, how many believers, I don't know, Christians may be the most guilty people on planet Earth of just being phony and actors. We act too much. Here's one. We'll throw in this little illustration real quickly. We talk a lot about politicians. They're good actors. You know how that we'll often make a comment, they talk out of the side of their mouth. They say one thing, do another. And boy, we crucify politicians and it makes us angry. We get mad. You watch television and I'll often be guilty and I'll just say lies, lies, lies. Biggest liars that ever lived. But I don't know this morning if believers maybe are a little bit more guilty than they are. They may be perverting the law and they may be perverting what they maybe try to believe or try to persuade you of what they may believe, try to get your vote. But we have to realize this morning we represent the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ Himself. Now, what's worse this morning? A politician getting on TV and lying to try to get some votes? Or for a believer to go out into the world and lie to the world and pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ? I don't know about you, but I believe that it may be a little worse on our part. So we find here this verse number 13 basically describing as actors act one way with one group and act a different way with another group. Maybe act a certain way on Sunday, but act a different way on Monday. What's the difference? Some people may say, well, what does it really hurt? It hurts a whole lot. We're hurting the gospel. Wouldn't it be far better this morning if we went out into the world and lived our life according to the Word of God? And I realize we're all sinners and we fall short and we make mistakes. We sin. We fall short many, many times. But our goal and our desire and our ambitions in life ought to be that we live our life that would be pleasing to Christ, that our life would be a testimony of Jesus Christ, and others in this lost world could look to us and look at us and actually see Christ in us. I think it was Finney that wrote in his book years, and this is years and years and years ago, a person came up to him and asked him one day, are you so-and-so? And he said, yes. And he said, are you a Christian? And it bothered him. It bothered him because he made the statement, if you have to ask me if I'm a Christian, I must not be doing a very good job living the Christian life. Because it ought to be so evident in my life
that I'm a believer. And I think that's very, very true. People ought to know who we are. I mean, people ought to know that we're different. That we act different. We live different. We believe different. And that we are a different people. Now, we don't do it with the wrong spirit. We do it in the right spirit. But this world needs to know that there is a believer in Jesus Christ, that Christ dwells inside of them. And it's very obvious that that person is a believer in Jesus Christ. Our testimony at work ought to be as such that everybody at work knows that we are a faithful believer in Jesus Christ. Everybody in our family, everybody in our neighborhood, they ought to know by the way we live our life. I mean, it ought to be just a given. I mean, this morning, I mean, our neighbors ought to know that, you know, if they need something, you don't need to go over there during this time on Sunday because they're not going to be there because they're going to be in church. People ought to know that, hey, they can depend on somebody like you because you have character about you that comes from Christ, which is a different character than a lost person may have. There's something different about you. I mean, a lost world ought to know there's somebody they can turn to, and that person is you. He goes on. We're in verse 14. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all. Right? So it's a public, face-to-face confrontation that's taking place here. He's upset with Peter because he lived one way with the Jews, and he acted a different way and tried to live with the Gentiles. But boy, when them Jews came around, he turned his back real quick on those Gentiles and followed them. But he said unto them, to Peter before them all, at the middle of verse number 14, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Important question that he asked here, Peter. Basically asking him, how are you going to be a witness before this group when you also act differently with this group, or vice versa? How are you ever going to present the gospel? How are you going to be a testimony for Christ? How are you even going to have people listen to what you have to say when it comes to the gospel? There could actually be people that die and spend eternity in hell because they will not listen to what you have to say because of how you live your life. And the same principle applies today. I wonder this morning how much more powerful the church or believers could be if we just lived like Christ. And quit trying to be like everybody, satisfying everybody, and blending in with everybody. Listen, as a believer, we're not going to blend in with everybody. Not everybody's going to like us. Not everybody's going to like your testimony and your lifestyle. But at least they can walk away and say that at least that person believes what he says he believes. He goes on in verse number 15. You'll find in verse 15, 16, 17, and 18, it talks about justification. We find here that we're going to learn here that justification. Well, we'll read here. Let me read these verses and we'll move on. Verse 15. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. You do not become justified by living the law. Period. Well, there's a comma there. It goes on. But by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. I don't know. I find that to be very, very simple. Living the law does not save you. The only thing that saves an individual is their faith that they place in Jesus Christ and Him alone, and that's it. Now, when you leave with that testimony, I promise you, you're going to rub some people wrong. There's a lot of people in this world that do not believe that salvation comes from putting his faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone. There's a lot of perversion about the gospel out there. Some believe that you got to live a good life. Some believe that you've got to be baptized in their church in order to go to heaven. Some believe in a works salvation. And Paul here is an instruction to the people here that salvation, justification, if you would, only comes by faith in Christ and Him alone. It's not by the works of the law. Works doesn't save anybody. Never has, never will. He goes on, and let me go ahead and finish out down through here. But verse 17, "But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again these things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor." So you take verse 15, 16, 17, and 18. It basically instructs us that justification of all people, I don't care what race you are, I don't care if you're a Gentile, I don't care if you're a Jew. And you got to understand that's what he's instructing, or that's where he is directing this towards. He's directing it towards this hatred that Jews have with Gentiles, two different groups of people, races if you would, and how that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew, it doesn't matter if you're a Gentile. Everybody gets justified the same way. It's through Jesus Christ and Him alone. So it doesn't matter if you're black, it doesn't matter if you're white, it doesn't matter if you're Hispanic, it doesn't matter if you come out of Australia, it doesn't matter if you come from Germany, it doesn't matter if you live in the Philippines, it doesn't matter. Everybody is justified the same way, and that is putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. There's not different ways of salvation, only one. You see, Peter here was kind of, to be honest with you, when he fellowshiped with the Gentiles and then he walked over here and tried to fellowship with the Jews and turn his back on the Gentiles, he was perverting the gospel in this way. It's almost like, okay, then how do you get saved? I mean, the Jews say, I got to follow the law. I've got to do this, and I've got to do this, and I've got to do this. And actually, I just have to be a Jew in order to get saved. And then the Gentile over here believes that a person gets saved by putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And Peter, you walk in fellowship with them, then you walk in fellowship with them. He was perverting the gospel. He was confusing people on how a person had to be saved. How damaging could that be? How would you like to be guilty of something like that? But often we find ourselves not walking the way we ought to walk. We don't walk according to the Word of God. Our testimony is harmed, and we do things in life that damage the testimony of Christ. And to be honest with you, I don't know of anybody in this room that's probably not guilty of doing that at one time in life. That's why we got to be careful. That's why we have to realize the seriousness of life from day to day. You know, Monday is just as serious as Sunday. I mean, Thursday is going to be just as important day this week as what Sunday is this week. We ought to live on Thursday like we do on Sunday. I mean, we ought to live our life where our life is one with the Word of God, and where it's easy to follow the steps of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's not blurred, and it's not confused, and it's not tainted, and it's not harmed. And that's what Peter here was guilty of, and that's what Paul is confronting here publicly with them. It didn't matter if you were, you know, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew. It doesn't matter if you're a Gentile. Everybody's getting saved the same way. The Jew has to get saved the same way as a Gentile. The Gentile has to get saved the same way as a Jew as far as the Word of God, and that is putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That is how a person is justified. So he moves on. Verse number 19.
For I, through the law, and that's interesting, he uses a little bit of a personal kind of an illustration, I guess you could say here. And you'll find here in verse 19, verse 20, well, we'll go all the way down through verse number 21. He is talking about how that a justified person should live his life. Verse number 19, for I, though the law, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Verse 20, well-known verse, a lot of people use this. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, right? He's saying now the life that I'm living right now on planet Earth, this flesh that you see here, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. That's a pretty strong statement right there. We often point to verse number 20, where Paul makes a statement, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. I like this statement that he made, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You see, in the life of Paul, it was very evident that Christ dwelt and lived and actually had control. You see, when Christ has complete freedom in our life, and when Christ actually liveth in us, and I'm not saying there's times when he doesn't. Once you become a believer, you're saved and you're saved forever. But I am a believer this morning that when you give complete control to Christ, your life is going to be a different life. The Word of God describes that life as a peculiar person. You're going to be very odd. You're going to be very strange to the world because Christ dwelleth in you and liveth inside of you. The word frustrate in verse number 21 means to nullify, means to deny. It means to make ineffective. And we don't ever need to do anything that makes the grace of God ineffective to nullify the grace of God. And I'm afraid many times people will tarnish that as well, the grace of God, if you would. You know, a lot of times we get criticized, you know, well, y'all just believe once saved, always saved, and we do believe that. I believe that anyway. Some say, well, you know, you take the grace of God, you take your salvation, and it just, you look at it as a license to sin. You just go out and do whatever you want to, and it'll all be okay. I don't believe that at all. I believe that when I go out or we as a people go out and sin and live our life contrary to the Word of God, it actually frustrates the Word, the grace of God. It frustrates the Word of God. It tarnishes the gospel of Jesus Christ. And my time's out here. But it's very, very important that we understand that how we live our life before a lost and dying world is very important in every aspect of life. Because it is all tied in with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't need to do anything to tarnish the gospel of Jesus Christ, to harm it, to nullify it, to do any damage to it. I mean, we need to do everything we possibly can to make sure the world knows and can see that Christ is the answer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you, we praise you, we thank you for this day. We pray for the message to come, the service this morning, the service tonight. We ask, Lord, for your blessings upon all that's said and done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.